Merkle Media.
Lashback Fridays here on Macroaggressions, taking you back to August 17th, 2021. Reprehensible government. If you're thinking of converting some of your soon-to-be-worthless Federal Reserve notes into tangible assets like gold and silver, or even your IRA and 401k, talk to Tony Arterburn, our sponsor over at Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. He'll hook you right up. Just go to www.macroaggressions.gold. Now, please enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How's everybody feeling out there? Keep doing it. Keep working on it. We're getting through this, right? Doesn't feel like it sometimes. Thank you all for the nice messages over the last couple of weeks with the helium miner and the earthquake kits that I put the I put the word out to all of you. Offer still stands. If you're interested in getting my list of all the things that I put in my emergency survival kit, I just email me and I will, I'll reply back with the list. It's pretty easy. It's not meant to be an exhaustive list. You can add whatever you want to it to personalize it, make it yours. It's just the list that I had. And it, given the sorts of items that I was able to find, that's what I came up with. And I'm more than happy to send it to you. And also, if you want that helium, that free, F-R-E-E, like totally free helium miner, I've got the hookup for it. It's coming. And all you have to do is email me, theoctopusofglobalcontrol@protonmail.com. Just put in the subject line helium miner. You don't even have to put anything else. Just send that to me and I will send it over to the company and they will reach out to you. So we can do that. I am more than happy to do it. And I want to thank everyone that sent me messages saying, yeah, send me this, send me that. Hey, you're doing a great job. I read them all. They mean a lot to me. They really do. And thank you. So, I won't get all mushy. I won't get all Cuomo on you and want to kiss you, but I want to kiss you all. You know what I'm saying? Oh, geez. Well, listen, before we get into these dickhead politicians, let's take care of the business at hand here. And that is, thanking and talking about our amazing sponsor, C60 Purple Power, has been with us now for, 6 months or so. It's working great. I'm taking it every day. I'm feeling good. It is, it's doing something. It's cleaning out all your cells. It's getting in there and getting rid of all the junk in your cells, helping like take out the trash. And then it allows your cells to produce energy more efficiently. I don't think that's the official way they describe it, but that's my way of describing it. But that's what it does. You wind up in the morning when you take it, you just don't have that you don't have that fog. Like, they call it brain fog. I never really knew that there was a name for it, but you don't have that. Like, when I get up in the mornings now, I feel like I'm, there's no lag time. I'm like, I'm up and I'm ready. And it's kind of nice because I don't have to sort of like gradually build up to like, all right, let me get my head out of my ass and figure this all out. What am I doing today? I like get out of bed and I'm just kind of like, let's go. And that is not something that has always happened in my life. I have to attribute that to C60 because that's what they said it does. They said it does things like that. So I'm gonna say that that's part of it. So go to C60purplepower.com and just read up about it. Just see if it's something that interests you. It's the most powerful antioxidant known. It's got to be doing something, right? The guys that invented discovered the C60 molecule won the Nobel Prize for it. Like, that's got to be worth something, I would think. Right? That sounds kind of important. And then Ken Schwartz, the owner, explained to me the process by which they make it. I mean, if he had told me that they stand out there and wait for this pan of magical liquid to get struck by lightning, I would totally have believed him because the process was so complicated. I was just like, whatever you say, Ken, I trust you know what you're doing. You certainly don't want me to be the one in there with the cookbook making this stuff. So go to C60PurplePower.com. Use the promo code MACRO. Save yourself some money. And also, since we're talking about getting ourselves ready, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago in that episode that people really, really responded to. I think they like solutions and things like that. Get your body ready. You know, get your body in good physical shape. There's lots of ways to do it. Eat well. Reduce sugar from your diet as most as you can, you know, exercise, drink lots of water. That'll take you far, you know, to changing these things about these are changeable, fixable things. But if you've plateaued, if you've hit a point where I've made these changes and I still want to make additional changes, I want to feel a little bit better, then I would suggest go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro. Take a look at this little video that I put together there showing my results and the program that Tim James put me on. Listen, it works. I've got the proof. I brought the receipts. I've got video evidence that it works, man. I mean, I'm standing there in this video with shorts that don't fit anymore. I still have to wear a belt on all of my shorts because they don't fit. They're like an inch and a half too big now, which is great, but kind of inconvenient too, because I sort of need shorts that fit. So I've had to make modifications. I can't really complain too much about it, right? I'm not going to complain that my shorts don't fit. Okay. I'm just going to acknowledge that they don't fit, but that is certainly not a complaint. So if you're interested in, I don't know, transforming your body, then I would suggest going to chemicalfreebody.com/macro. Take a look at what's going on there. When you check out, when you are ready to go through the shopping cart, make sure you use the promo code MACRO to save yourself a little bit extra money. Why not? We need it. So what else is new, huh? We got Andrew Cuomo out of office. I mean, not like that's going to fix anything, really. You know, Governor Nippelring is, you know, he's a weirdo. He's an abrasive, jerky, touchy-feely sociopath politician. Like so many of them. He's a sexual harasser. He's one of those guys that doesn't read the room very well and invades people's personal spaces and does all these things. He's got a retarded brother on CNN who claims to be a journalist and pretends like he's doing tricep lifts with 100-pound weights, which aren't 100-pound weight. I mean, you know, the whole family. Mario Cuomo, his dad, ran New York for a while. It's a crime family run by morons. And, you know, I don't have a whole lot of respect for those people. I don't like the idea of multi-generational politicians. I think maybe the only one I can think of that has had, like, someone's gone into politics and then their kid has gone into politics too might be Ron Paul and Rand Paul, but I'm not even a huge fan of Rand Paul. I think he's better than most, but I'm not like, oh, he's great. Ron Paul is phenomenal. I mean, he's a decent guy. I tell you what, man, I'll say this about, I think Ron Paul might be the only politician in the world that can walk up onto the stage at an Acapulco, and I've seen him do it twice, an 80-year-old white Republican politician from the United States that spent two decades in Congress, goes to an anarchist convention, walks out on stage and gets a standing ovation. That shouldn't happen. That is the, he, Ron Paul is the unicorn of American politics. You know, he's a guy with integrity and a belief system and an understanding of things beyond, you know, yes, he's a doctor, an OBGYN, but he had a broad, it currently still has, I don't mean to talk about him in the past tense, has a broad understanding of finance. And of course, you know, he hates central banks, which means I love him. And you know, in a little known fact, I will let you in on this is, he agreed to write the foreword to The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire, the book I wrote with Jeff Berwick. We were really excited. He was going to write it. And then he had his medical, incident and we went, oh no, we can't. You know, the book's done. It's ready to go. That's the one thing we were waiting on. And I was like, we got to give, you know, Jeff was like, I think we should let him off the hook. And I was like, yeah, I did too. So the great Doug Casey wrote the foreword to the book, but Ron Paul was scheduled to write it. And had he not had his medical incident, he would have. I'll just take that. That's a win anyway. You know, the fact that he said yes, even if it didn't wind up happening was a big deal. But once again, the idea of me getting excited that an American politician was going to do, you know, come in and write the foreword for one of my books, that should never happen, right? Except that it's Ron Paul. So every now and then you get somebody that doesn't really fall in the established lane that everyone else does. In American politics, and we've talked about this, you know, quite deep, you know, in detail. And it's not limited to American politics too. And this is sort of universal. When you are a psychopath, somebody that has a way of seeing the world, a very predatory way of looking at the world, like a, you know, somebody that, like, you, when you describe animals, you know, you describe an animal as cold-blooded and, you know, like vicious, and they're just on the hunt for food. It's their nature. That's how they are. I mean, we can get mad at them. We get mad at the snake for being cold-blooded and for hunting its prey, but in the end, it's a snake. And with these psychopathic politicians, we can complain about them, and we do. We can point out their hypocrisy, and we have, but they are just being who they are. I mean, if you're born a psychopath or converted into one through trauma, you know, your brain gets broken. There's certain cortisone that's released, and it changes you. It's like, you know, it's like, think of, like, you know, you make those places where you go and you make a clay pot, right? When the clay is wet, you can sculpt it however you want. Once they dry it out, once they put it in the oven and bake it, it's set. And that's, I feel like that's how the, you know, when you were abused early on, or you're just born into this psychopathic family or these behavior, at some point, it just kind of gets baked in and you become, that's who you are. So we can attack the Cuomos of the world, and we should, but we also shouldn't ever act surprised by this, because these people aren't going to change. And if there's one thing we know, it's that psychopaths go, you know, you like child molesters, right? You go where the hunting's good. And if you're a psychopath, you know what you want. You want power. You want money. Maybe you want, you know, sex. Maybe you want sex with kids. Whatever you want. I mean, you know, you take a look at what the established norms are, And the psychopath might have done all of those things, and now they're looking for something else, right? They've always got to raise the stakes a little bit. Oh, I got to, you know. So you go where the hunting's good. And if you're interested in power, influence, you like telling people what to do, you like to make money in a maybe devious kind of way, you go to Washington, D.C. If you're an American and that's what the things that you want, that's a good place to go. They have everything there. Whatever you need, they've got it. So are we going to act surprised when somebody like Andrew Cuomo is run out of office? I mean, a guy that in his press conferences, through his shirt, so you can see he's got double nipple rings. I mean, I'm not kidding. Does that make him more relatable? I mean, it's not relatable to me, obviously. I don't have any nipple rings. But I mean, do you go, oh, shit, he's a freak. That's kind of cool. Or do you go, shit, if he's got double nipple rings there and he doesn't care that we see it, what else is going on? You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of ways to look at this. But look, he made the decision to put sick people in nursing homes and he wound up killing a bunch of people. We're running Andrew Cuomo out of office because he groped people and called, you know, said sugar tits to a bunch of girls or whatever. I mean, inappropriate and shitty, and maybe you shouldn't have that job and everything. But are we not focusing on the fact that he ordered the deaths of all of these people? I mean, he did the one thing that you do if you are trying to kill a bunch of old people. And we all knew it. You know, I'm not an epidemiologist. I just play one on the podcast, right? But like, I don't need to have that deep of a background to understand that what he was doing was a horrible idea. And you knew it too. Everyone knew it. It was not debatable. It was like, what the fuck is going on here? And why is this guy doing this? But you see how when the media gets involved in trying to establish the agreed upon points that we're allowed to argue and debate about when it comes to Andrew Cuomo, you notice the nursing home thing is not one of them. That's not a topic that we're allowed to be like, oh, and what about this? You know, no. Is he being disrespectful to say that, hey, I'm just an Italian, you know, we talk with our hands and blah, 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 and all that, you know, or is he really just a bad guy? Who fucking cares? Let's talk about the nursing homes. A rich, powerful guy being a shithead to women? What a surprise. If we're going to prioritize that, we're going to have to bring in millions of people into this courtroom. So I'm not concerned about that. Is he a creep? Yeah, he's a total creep. There's a lot of creeps out there. It's not just Andrew Cuomo, okay? You know, you're the assistant manager at Long John Silver's that just keeps commenting on what nice tits you have. That guy's a creep too. He just doesn't have the power that Andrew Cuomo has. So nobody cares about him. We're living in a situation now where these governors have a lot of power, a disproportionate amount. I mean, what Gavin Newsom is doing in California is crazy, okay? The things that he has authorized, the mask deal he did with China, I don't think we don't know about that, Gavin. We know what you're doing. You know, the recall. He forgot to list himself in the recall ballot as a Democrat. And then he sued to try and stop it so that he could change that. You fucked up. You didn't even remember what party you're in. Probably because it really doesn't matter. I mean, there's red team and blue team and they're fighting against each other. But he knows that he knows what team he's really on. He's on the money team. He's on the New World Order team. He's on the World Economic Forum team. He's on the Build Back Better plan. And he does not have a single hesitation about mandating vaccines, about bringing in vaccine passports, about mandating masks to be worn in schools. California already mandates vaccinations through SB 277. He doesn't give a fuck about you. He's proven that. He's shown that. French Laundry showed us that. I mean, in case you were wondering. So what we have, we don't have representative government. We have reprehensible government. These people don't represent you. If you sat down to have lunch with Gavin Newsom, you wouldn't have anything to talk to that guy about. I guarantee you. He's a soulless puppet who may or may not be Scott Disick's father. I'm just saying. And that whole, the whole state, you know, the whole state of California is just, you know, it used to be, you know, they'd say, oh, California's a cool place. It's really liberal. You know, you can do kind of whatever. It's like, hey, man, you know, surfer chicks and all that stuff. I grew up in Southern California. I lived there almost my whole life. There is a lot of that. There was a lot of that. It's changed though. And it's changed because of the politics. It's not like it got hip. That big earthquake that was going to make California fall into the, that never happened. It hasn't happened yet. That's not the reason for the change. It didn't get, you know, some beetle infestation that ate all the trees. And then everyone said, California sucks. Now we all have to leave. None of that stuff happened. What happened was the government. 100% the government. It's the government's fault that California's such a disaster. And normally people throw that kind of out there and they go, oh, blame the government when it's like really other things. In this case, it's actually the government. It's the government's policies. I can tell you, I could point to specific policies. And we have. Chesa Bowden is the San Francisco district attorney. He's a Soros guy. He was brought in, paid for, financed by George Soros. This is a guy that is, he was raised by radicals. His parents were in the Weather Underground. They're convicted murderers. This guy's the district attorney. He's the reason why you can steal whatever you want out of the stores. And that's not accidental. That's Soros and his group of people that are plotting ways to subvert this country and destabilize it in a variety of ways, some more effective than others, but taking over the court systems on the semi-local level, you know, in San Francisco, I would say is, you know, it's, I wouldn't really, you know, when you say local, I mean local, but still it's millions of people there. So it's not small. When I say local, I don't mean small necessarily, but Soros has financed a lot of those operations and a lot of those candidates and put them in positions of power so that then he can say, well, we've got to do this and we've got to do that and we've got to change this and we've got to change that. And that's what they've done, which is the reason why you can shoot up heroin on the sidewalks in San Francisco and nobody's going to do anything to you. And I'm not trying to shit on the people that are addicted to heroin because that's a rough road. But what I mean is that, you know, when you're at a restaurant in San Francisco sitting outside and you see just lawlessness happening right across the street, guys taking dumps on the sidewalk, people shooting heroin, selling drugs, doing all this stuff. And to be clear, I'm not on my high horse about the drugs thing. I think we could do a lot of work with decriminalizing this stuff. But regardless, it's technically illegal. People see this illegal behavior happening all over the place and nothing being done. That has an effect. It makes you go, well, listen, I mean, yeah, I'll run that. I'll make that left turn. I maybe shouldn't have make that illegal U-turn that I should make. Why shouldn't I? What are you going to do? Arrest me? You're not arresting the guy that's stealing all the stuff out of the store. You're not arresting the guy that just sold a gram of heroin to somebody that happened right in front of that cop's face, they're not going to arrest me. So it kind of breaks down, you know? People go, well, you know, if you're not enforcing this, then I'm leaving. That's not accidental. That's by design. That's the representative government that these global elite people want to put in place. They want to destabilize everything. The rules for thee and not for me theme of 2020 has most definitely carried over into 2021. I mean, speaking of Gavin Newsom and French Laundry and all of that, we have Lori Lightfoot going to Lollapalooza. We have Barack Obama throwing a party in Martha's Vineyards, and everyone's like, oh, maskless party and everything. Let me say this. Let's rephrase this. I want to pile on Obama and all those assholes too, but let's do it in a different way. Let's not accuse them of all being at a party maskless. That's actually how they should be. Let's not forget about that. The party that Obama and all his friends went to maskless is the way they should be. They should all be maskless, and so should we. So don't attack that situation by saying they didn't have their masks on. They should have their masks on like we do. No, 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 no. None of us should have our masks on. Are we clear on that part? Now, since we're allegedly in the grips of a gigantic pandemic that's killing everybody, and we're being forced to wear masks, then you see the Obama party where nobody's wearing masks, and I obviously understand where the outrage is. The outrage is not in the masks. The outrage is in the hypocrisy. And rightfully so, because it's on full display here. And there's hypocrisy on top of hypocrisy when it comes to the Obama birthday thing, okay? Because we've got Mr. Climate Change, who bought a $14 million house right on the ocean. So he's already acknowledging or signaling that climate change isn't going to be, you know, rising tides and sea levels and things like that. Not going to be a problem. Because, you know, if I thought it was really going to be a problem, I wouldn't have bought this house. And if my insurance agency thought it was really going to be a problem, they wouldn't insure this house. And yet they have. And the reason is because that whole narrative is horseshit. But he's selling it like it's true. Climate change, global warming, rising sea tides, melting ice caps, all blah, 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 blah. We're all going to die. How'd all the people get there? How'd John Kerry get to this party? Private jets. There were so many fucking private jets in Martha's Vineyard that it created a traffic jam, an aviation traffic jam, and as well as a vehicular traffic jam as well. But the point is, all those people that went to that party and didn't social distance and didn't wear their masks and all scream about the environment and clutch their pearls about how dare you, you have to switch to an electric car. Don't you want, you know, we can't have these polar bears floating away on little receding, shrinking icebergs, right? All that stuff. That's all bullshit. Okay. They know it is. They know it in their hearts. I mean, a lot of them know it in actuality, because they understand who the Club of Rome is and they realize the global carbon tax that's coming out of it's a sham. But what we see is them saying one thing and doing the other. And that's really where everybody's frustration comes in. I mean, rightfully so. You know, our leaders, air quotes, our leaders, should be leading by example. That's the best kind of leader, right? You want that guy who's going to march you into battle. If he's going to march you into battle, you want him in that battle with you. And if he's up at the front, if he's up at the front lines or close to the front lines, you get the feeling like, okay, I know I'm here in this fight, but you're here with me. Cool. That makes me feel a little better. I don't feel that from our politicians. They're not in the fight with us. They've never been in the fight with us. What they do is make laws prohibiting things and actions. And then what we do is we later catch them engaging in those actions that they've made illegal. I mean, we currently have a president of the United States in Joe Biden who fired his staff members that answered the question, honestly, have you ever smoked marijuana? They said yes, or do you smoke marijuana, I guess. They said yes. He said, you're fired. While his son, who is in the news again, is having videos leaked of him smoking crack cocaine. Once again, do whatever you want to do, right? It's not my, if you're the president, you want to smoke crack cocaine. I mean, like, I don't think it's a good idea. I think there's probably better uses of your time and money and energy and mental health and all that stuff, but it's not my business. But where it becomes my business is when Joe Biden passes laws, works on the omnibus crime bill with Bill Clinton and all these measures that they put in place, that they made law going after drugs, going after drug users. And I'm not even talking about drug sellers. Remember, Joe Biden wanted all the raves shut down. Meanwhile, his son is like Mickey Mouse hands and glow sticks and Vicks vapor rub all over. You know what I mean? Like, he's on the dance floor with his shirt off, just going for it. And we're supposed to get tough on drugs? Get the fuck out of here with that. You know what I mean? It's just, it's hard to take these people seriously when like, it's not six or seven layers away where we find Joe Biden's hypocrisy. It's his own son. And it's not like I heard a rumor. It's how much time do you have to watch all of these videos of this guy smoking crack? I've never smoked crack, but I didn't know that one of the side effects is that it makes you want to make videos of yourself smoking crack. Apparently you do, or whatever, you know, the picture of him in his underwear with the feather boa and the sunglasses and the cigarette. I mean, that's a look. Steal this look, Hunter Biden. But it's all of the leaders. Right? Cause we're talking about presidents, President Trump, President Obama. You know, President Trump launched 50 Tomahawk missiles at a Syrian airbase back in 2017. You remember that? You'll remember that because Brian Williams from NBC News almost came in his pants. He was so excited. He was quoting Leonard Cohen. He was talking about the magnificence of our weaponry and all this stuff. And it's like, dude, you're disgusting. You're a vile reptilian. But you know, Trump was the one who was saying, why are we launching these missiles? Why are you doing, you know, before he was president, he was shit talking. Why are we doing it? Why aren't we out of Afghanistan? And then he gets in and we're still in Afghanistan. And then he gets in and he starts launching missiles. You know, these are our representatives. Our representative, our God King, Donald Trump, who comes out of the hospital in what can best be described as a COVID stunt or some sort of weird infomercial for the pharmaceutical industry or whatever, where he says, it's your favorite president, it's me, and I'm in front of the White House. And it's like, yeah, we know. Why are you telling us that? Is it really you? Are you really in front of the White House? Because, I mean, it seemed fake to me. And people love the guy. People love the guy. But I ask you, is Donald Trump not the biggest and best vaccine salesman in the world? And what a reprehensible thing to be known for. Operation Warp Speed. That's all Trump, baby. I mean, listen, I got big problems with the Biden administration and how they're doing things and what their plan is for COVID and their authoritarian tactics and the fact that they're talking about we're going to go door to door and spread information and all that craziness. I got big problems with that. But let's not absolve Donald Trump for his role in this as well, shall we not? I mean, he was the architect of Operation Warp Speed, which fucking got the military involved with the vaccine agenda. I mean, he took it straight to the military. This is not good. So our representative government, I mean, who do they represent? Big Pharma? Uh-huh. Big Tech? Oh, yeah. Big Oil? They've always worked for Big Oil. The big banks, you got it, man. Pharmaceutical industry runs Washington, D.C. It's allowed to because of the types of politicians that we put in office. They get in and then they rekey the locks and change it so that only their key works. You know what I mean? Like if we think of it like this is our house, we've allowed politicians and they've changed the locks. We're out front trying to stick our key in the door going, it doesn't turn anymore. Yeah. You know why? Cause you voted for those politicians. You put them in the house. Those politicians were taking all their money from the big industries, the pharmaceutical, oil, big food, pharma, big tech, you name it, all the industries with all the money. It's a logical place to look for money, right? You're running for office, you need money. Well, who's got the money? We'll go to them. I'll ask them for money. And then you voted them in, and then they changed the locks on you. And you know the reason why? Because they aren't looking out for your best interest, because you aren't the one giving them money. You are the one that are supposed to be voting for them, but we saw what happened in the last election. Votes, you know, we can make votes appear wherever we want them to. You know, and like, let's not even talk about Kamala Harris, because what can you say about her that hasn't already been said? She does nothing that I can tell, except cackle and pretend to, you know, look like she's working and wear her mask from time to time and get off airplanes wearing Chuck Taylors, and everyone goes, ooh, look at her. She's just like us. She's nothing like us. I assure you, Kamala Harris is nothing like you. You have nothing in common with that person. She sees you as a tool to be used in order to further her career. You know, like Willie Brown. She used his tool to further her career as well. And that whole Northern California group, you know, Nancy Pelosi. You know, Nancy Pelosi's worth $120 million. Do you know why she's worth $120 million? I know. Her husband, right? Uh-huh. She's been insider trading stocks in Congress for years. Years and years and years. In 2012, they came up with the Stock Act, which is called Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act. They had to come up with an act. You know why they had to do that? Because so many people were pissed off that their politicians were making so much money from insider trading. They said, we got to do something to stop it. But guess what? They made a big deal about this. Oh, we're going to stop trading on this insider knowledge. They gutted it, the act, before they passed it. Now they say that disclosure requirements create a national security risk. So they're like, you're going to have to disclose all the stocks that you own, congressmen, whatever, Congressman Burr or Feinstein or Loeffler. You're going to have to disclose all the stocks that you own. And they say, well, if I were to disclose this, that would create a national security risk. And they go, oh, okay. Well, then you don't have to. COVID stock tips. These people made a lot of money on that. Richard Burr, North Carolina. Dianne Feinstein, California. Kelly Loeffler, Georgia. You remember, it was a big deal. It's legal. They're not going to jail for that. And they wonder why we hate their guts. Because they're in a special group. They have forgotten that their job as representatives of the people is to actually work on behalf of the people. They either forgot that or never cared about it, or nobody or you ever see that picture of like all of like the George H.W. Bush and like George Tenet and all these guys? They're all like grabbing each, they're all laughing, like they're like heads tilted back laughing. They're all, I feel like that happens on a daily basis in Washington, D.C., that they're all just like periodically getting together and just laughing, going, these suckers think that we're working for them. Oh my God. They're so dumb. But it's not limited to the United States, obviously. I mean, we know that the Margaret Thatcher and Ted Heath were doing it in the UK for a long, long time. Conducting business that benefits, I don't know, their friends. Friends like Jimmy Savile. Good friends like Jimmy Savile. You know, Ted Heath is the type of guy that will take a young boy out to his boat, rape him, strangle him, throw him overboard, and let Jimmy clean up the mess. But you guys in the UK, you voted for this piece of shit back in the 70s, multiple times. You voted for Margaret Thatcher too. Did you see what her cabinet was filled with pedophiles? It's not accidental. You know, all these guys, they all know each other. They all went to Eton College, right? David Cameron, Boris Johnson. They had this pipeline into politics. Tony Blair, good friends with Savile. Hey, I know that that's a shock to everybody, right? This is, unfortunately, how things get done here. And in the United States, you know, we don't have a monarchy per se, but we've got our own version of it. We've got Congress and the, you know, president and vice president and these people. And then we've got a layer beneath them of Congress, and then we've got a layer beneath them, which are these governors. You know, we talked about Gavin Newsom and you know, Gavin Newsom, who may very well get recalled and replaced by Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner. I mean, if that's not some kind of weird poetic justice, I don't know what is. Yeah, baby. Bruce Jenner in drag, governor of California. I mean, where is that asteroid? And by the way, Bruce Jenner in drag, governor of California, still better than Gavin Newsom by a lot. And I have no idea what her politics are. Don't even care. Well, maybe I care a little bit. You remember Gretchen Whitmer, Michigan, right? She's not representing us. And you know how you can tell that she's not representing us? Because she didn't want to prosecute Larry Nassar, the Michigan State gymnastics coach. She didn't want to prosecute him for the 100 sexual assaults, only the child porn. Now, you might say, well, hey, I'm surprised she wanted to get him for the child porn. Well, I am a little bit too, but she thought that would, it'd be easy. You know, they said, well, we thought that'd be easier to connect for. Let me explain something to you. When you are representing the people and you have a gymnastics coach that is being charged with 100 sexual assault of children, you don't have the luxury of saying, I don't think we'll prosecute that. You fucking prosecute it. You understand? The fact that she was considering not doing it is gross and weird. And, you know, maybe shows whose team she's playing for. In the end, they wound up going after him and he got convicted and he's a monster. But just know that, I mean, like, really, I don't think that will surprise many people that Cruella De Vil in Michigan was considering not going after the worst person to come out of her state in quite some time, because this is also the person that allegedly was getting kidnapped. Remember that? I don't know, LARP, obviously. Remember that FBI kidnapping, alleged kidnapping, where have you seen the meme, the Spider-Man meme, where it's like, you know, it's the Spider-Man pointing at the other Spider-Man, you know, but there's like 10 of them. There's 10 Spider, they're all pointing at each other, and it's like, this one's like, Fed, FBI informant, FBI informant, some retarded fuck, autistic fuck is what they said, informant, you know, and it was like a joke, because everybody that was involved, not everybody, but I think like 3/4 of the people that were involved in the kidnapping of Gretchen Whitmer were connected to the FBI. So we've got, I mean, it's hard to keep track of all this stuff, all this insanity. Luckily, I've got nothing better to do. Remember Scooter Libby? Convicted. Remember Larry Craig? Mr. Wide Stance, foot tap at the Minneapolis airport? Convicted. Remember Dennis Hastert? Dennis Hastert? Number 3 in line. Speaker of the House. Okay. The president and vice president die. Dennis Hastert becomes the president. He had paid out $3.5 million over decades to keep quiet the very real evidence and story that he was a serial rapist, a child rapist, a sexual predator that was raping his wrestling students. And he was paying hush money for a long, long time. Not long enough. Must have missed a payment. I mean, Elliot Abrams too. Remember that guy? These guys are all convicted. Convicted felons. Pardoned by H.W. Bush, of course. Elliot Abrams pardoned by H.W. Bush. Only to make a return appearance by none other than God Emperor Donald Trump. They put him in charge of the Venezuela regime change. I mean, spreading democracy. Whatever. Al Gore. We all know about Al Gore. You know, he's such a hypocrite. The climate change hustle. You know, Al Gore's buddy was Ken Lay, the CEO of Enron. Very good friends. That's who taught him that, the carbon tax hustle, was Ken Lay. Selling, you know, carbon offsets and all this stuff. Al Gore is extremely, you know, you know him as an Inconvenient Truth and former vice president and all these things. He is a gigantic hypocrite. Maybe one of the biggest ones in all of, I mean, you know, we talked in the last episode, the last monologue episode about the new book, Hypocrisy, and how there's a section. I've got a section I was really getting into the celebrities and Leonardo DiCaprio flying 8,000 miles to pick up his environment, you know, in a private jet to pick up his environmental award and all that shit. Al Gore is like, you know, Leo, hold my beer. Let me show you how it's really done. Mr. Climate Change with the jets and the 10,000 square foot house and Tennessee, multiple houses, multiple swimming pools that are always heated. You know what I mean? I mean, like, once again, I don't have a problem with you doing those things if those are the things that you're into doing. I mean, I might not do it. I'm not going to do it probably, but you know, whatever. The problem really comes when you are in charge of lecturing people about not doing that, about not, you know, not, you know, if we don't hurry up, you know, the polar bears are going to all be dead. And everyone stands up and applauds your amazing speech that you just gave. And then you walk off stage, get into your limo, get driven to your private jet, and then you fly home in your private jet all by yourself. That's the problem. People don't like politicians because they feel that politicians are supposed to be representing them. And they see the politician's behavior and they realize, you know, I wouldn't want that guy to represent me anyway. The way he touched, you know, Andrew Cuomo, I voted for Cuomo. Hey, I voted for Cuomo. Really? Okay. You get all this other stuff, just so you know. It's a big package when you, maybe not big, you know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff that comes along. I'm not trying to say I know what Andrew Cuomo's package looks like. But I'll tell you one thing, if I wanted to see it, I bet he'd show it to me. You know what I mean? He's that type of guy. Hey, I'm Italian. But these defective human beings that go into politics and then we step into a voting booth, if anyone's still voting anymore, and you get a list of them, and it's like, who are you going to vote? Who are you going to vote for? Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? Those are your two choices. Let's just remember that. Representative government? Neither of those people represent me. Who else do we have? Who else can we vote for? Can I vote for somebody else besides that? No, probably not. Not in any real sense. Hillary Clinton gloated about murdering Gaddafi. We came, we saw, he died. We've all seen that, right? She's a serial killer. You know what I mean? Maybe not an actual one. Maybe she is an actual one. I don't know. But she's got that mentality. You know, can't we just drone this guy? Talking about Julian Assange. That's conspiracy to commit murder. When I say it, it's, you know, if I were to say something like that, it's nothing. When you're the Secretary of State and you say, can't we just drone this guy? I'm sorry, but that sounds a lot like conspiracy to murder. Yeah, maybe I can have an attorney clear that up for me. Maybe I'm wrong, but it sounds like it. And either way, that's your representative. Now, I understand the Secretary of State was not voted on. It's a pick, but it's an appointment. But still, the point of these people going into government is that they are supposed to represent the people and be the voice for the people, because there's so many of us and we need our voices heard. So what we'll do is we'll all get together and tell this one person, hey, this is what we think on this situation. And then now you go to the big place, Washington, D.C., and you tell them that's how we think. They don't do any of that. They don't give a flying fuck what you think about anything. And I don't mean that in like a flippant kind of way. Studies have been done that show that the way people, what the voters want versus what legislation is passed has zero impact on it. They said the number zero in the study. It doesn't impact it. We all want Medicare for now. You know, we want Medicare for all. We want it now. We want it. We want it. We want it. Are you going to get it? No. You know why? Because Big Pharma doesn't want it. That's why you're not going to get it. But all the people, there's so much support for it. There's so, you know, we all need it. Yeah, I agree. Doesn't matter. Because if the corporations don't want it, then you ain't getting it. So we aren't represented by our politicians, and really maybe we never were. Maybe people should lower their expectations when it comes to politics and dealing with politicians. I mean, you can't really act surprised that Andrew Cuomo is getting thrown out of office for his behavior, can you? I mean, what part of that guy gave you any confidence that he was going to be around doing good things for the people of New York? Even just the way he looks like the type of guy that doesn't give a fuck about you. So are we to blame? I mean, maybe on some levels. We are putting forth candidates that are not the best and brightest. I mean, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, when you criticize her, the left comes after you and calls you sexist or ageist or whatever. Look, I can take shots at her for those things if I wanted to. How about this? None of her legislation that she's proposed has ever passed. So my criticism of someone like that isn't her age or her gender. My criticism of her is that her ideas suck. They're just not good. She's not good at convincing people that her ideas are any good. And that's the future of American politics. The squad. The squad. Tell me what the squad has done. Show me all the great things that they've done. They've done nothing except brand themselves as like this weird, I don't even want to call it an all-star team. It's like in dodgeball, that team, like the, with all the weaklings and weirdos on it. You know, this is not a winning formula. This is not an Olympic team that you're putting forth. If this is the new Congress that's coming forth, that's going to represent the people and do all, you know, make everything happen. Let's start over then. Because she already single-handedly killed a big old Amazon deal in New York. And look, I got my problems with the way big businesses use tax credits as bait, you know, to come in and do all this. I mean, there's problems with that. But if you're talking about economics and you're talking about creating a situation where the place where you live is in demand in terms of jobs and housing and all that stuff, maybe don't kill that bill. Maybe don't kill the Amazon deal. But this is what happens when you get a bunch of newbies in there that don't know a whole lot. You get Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who by all accounts is playing her role in this charade. You know, she doesn't have the luxury of the Clintons do, of 4 decades of grifting. You know, when the Clintons go about opening up a slush fund like the Clinton Foundation, they do it right. You know, say what you will about the Clintons, but they know how to run a crime family, you know, whacking people allegedly like crazy. Here's a list of countries that donated large sums of money to the Clinton Foundation and then magically got weapons deals. Saudi Arabia, $25 million. Kuwait, $10 million. United Arab Emirates, $5 million. Qatar, $5 million. Oman, $5 million. Australia, $25 million. Norway, $25 million. Ireland, $10 million. Netherlands, $10 million. United Kingdom, $5 million. Morocco, $5 million. You give the Clintons $5 million or $25 million if you're Saudi Arabia, and guess what happens? You get to buy arms from us. You see how that works? Clinton Global Initiative. Funny. They shut that down the day after she lost the election. It's almost like they were running an influence peddling racket. I mean, if I didn't know any better, I'd swear that they were running an influence peddling racket, because that's the only explanation for closing up shop the day after you lost the election, right? Closing down one component of your charity. You've got the Clinton Foundation and you've got the Clinton Global Initiative. They're separate, but they shut down the Clinton Global Initiative. I guess influence isn't for sale anymore, right? But this is, unfortunately, the world that we live in. And if you live in America, well, as George Carlin said, when you're born into this world, you get a ticket to the freak show. When you're born in America, you get a front row seat. If you like this episode, please take the additional step of sharing it with your friends and family. Getting that information out there to people that are looking for it. You can connect with me at the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter @macroaggressions. Thanks, everybody. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.